Well, good morning to all of you. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, isn't it? I feel like Mr. Rogers today. Listen, I want to thank all of you for praying for us while we did a whistle stop down to Nova Scotia last week. It was interesting. We left Sunday right after church, and we got to the New Brunswick border, and it was like you were going into El Paso, Texas. I mean, they had them lined up. They had cops everywhere. They had flashing lights. They had COVID places. They had people pulled off, and we got in this line, and the trucks, they're going through one line, and we got through the one line, and the guy comes to the window, you know, and you feel like you're crossing some border because the gun is right in your face. And he says to you, "Where are you going?" I didn't want to say heaven. I didn't think that would be the right answer because he probably would have asked me if I'd taken a needle to go there. But anyway, so I said, "We're going right through to Nova Scotia." Jane had some paperwork, and he says, "Well, where's your paperwork for New Brunswick?" Well, on the website, it didn't show any paperwork for New Brunswick. So he said, "Well, we have our paperwork for Nova Scotia. We're just going right through." He goes, "Oh, let me have a look at that." He takes our driver's license and everything. He says, "Okay, you see those two concrete cement blocks right there?" And of course, the whole thing's lined with cement blocks. You're going, "Yeah, just feel free. Knock yourself out." He says, "Go between them, and away you go." I didn't want to say pardon, because I thought if he repeated it twice, I might be asked to do something else. So I got through the barrier. Do you know we drove for 4 hours on a four-lane highway through New Brunswick, and we didn't see a single car? Not a single. I thought the rapture had occurred, and we'd missed it. Like, it was eerie. Saw a few trucks. Anyway, we got down there. Beth was glad to see us. We got to meet a lot of her friends. She's in a great church down there, and things are going really well. And so we turned around. Oh, I should tell you, she bought me 3 large lobsters. Now, some of you may not like lobster. Well, that's your problem. But these lobsters were crawling across the table before I put them in the pot. But boy, were they ever good when they were cooked. I'll tell you, there's nothing like lobsters from Nova Scotia. Anyway, so we tooled home. So thanks. I hear Phil told you I had 2 or 3 truckloads of stuff. We packed that SUV so tight, I didn't even think I could get my running shoes in. Like, we really, when we emptied it, her whole spare bedroom was full. It's like Christmas all over again 2 years later. So anyway, so thanks for all your prayers. It was good to get home, but it was also really nice to be on the road. How many of you are just ready to drive somewhere? Any of you? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Can I just drive somewhere? And so do what you got to do. Go where you got to go and just have a break. Okay, I want to just give you a couple of updates for announcements. We've got a couple of things. Don't forget, we have a prayer time here at the church Mondays at 2 and Friday night or Saturday nights at 7. And then we have our study night right through the summer. Thursday night, we're studying the book of Proverbs. And if you haven't been out lately, I know you'll really enjoy it. We have a great time together. And you probably got an email from Linda, our secretary, with regard to our church anniversary coming up in September. We're seeing if there's a way that we can have some time together as a family. So please respond to that email if you got it. Also, don't forget there are offering plates. We don't take up the offering per se at this time, but there are offering plates at the back and daily bread devotional booklets. And if you need some for the fall, the other ones have come in, so take those as well. All right, is there anything else I need to update? Phil, I want to thank you for preaching for me last Sunday. Carl, thanks for holding the fort Thursday for me. And appreciate everybody. Anything else we need to update family on? Anyway, we've got some visitors. Margaret, awfully nice to have you with us today. And Chris, does everybody know your gang? Guys, nice to have you here. And the two young guys in the back, what's your names, fellas? Yeah, we're great to have you. Yeah. Anybody else? Tina, did you get to meet everybody last week? Were you here last week?
Yeah.
Okay, so nice to have you back again. Tina heads back to Toronto tomorrow. And you know, a lot of people are traveling back and forth. Sheila, it was good to have your daughter here.
Yes.
It was good to have your daughter. And Eva, who do you want? You want to introduce? I mean, I know it's Andrea, but do you want to introduce Andrea?
Yeah, this is my sister Andrea.
Yeah. So, girls, I'm going to have my eyes on you. No talking back there, okay? Like, just... Okay, because I know how sisters can get... Do you know what he said? Anyway, anybody else? Happy anniversary again to both of you. And a happy birthday for yesterday. Boy, you really put it all together in 1 week. Well, that's what I did. Got engaged October 1st, got married October 1st. You know, I know what you're saying, Gord. You keep it all straight, you never have a problem. Yeah, anyway. Okay. I think we have some birthdays. Amelia, yes, and Serena out in Vancouver. So if you want to give her a call. And Lisa has also her birthday. So we've got some folks want to remember. Prayer requests? We've got some. We want to pray for the Clarks. They headed out the other morning. They're going to be a month down in Newfoundland. And I think we should really pray that, that, especially for Bruce, because he's lost so many family members in the last 2 years. And it's going to be tough the time they get back out there and start visiting the family. And Margaret's cancer issues, everything's come back negative, which I think is absolutely fantastic for her. And also want to pray for Bob, his nephew Steve. And remember, he's the fellow that fell the 10 stories down the elevator shaft and landed on the bottom. And then the co-worker fell on top of him. So he's just, like, he's an absolute miracle story. And so we're just so thrilled for him. And I just also wanted to let you know, I was talking to David. David's friend Bill, who lived in town, a retired Anglican pastor, he passed away, but David is doing really well, and you know, he was an amazing friend for about 6 years for this gentleman, and so God's worked out some incredible things for David. And next time he's here, I'm going to have him share a little bit about what's going on. Okay, anything else we need to take to the Lord? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're here today, and our whole focus is you. We're here today to praise you, to thank you for bringing us through another week safely, for just the ongoing wisdom that you bring to us, and the peace that passes all human understanding that comes through your Holy Spirit. And Father, each one of us are working through so many different issues. Life is not easy, and there are sometimes things that blindside us or things that catch us off guard. There are things that bring us great joy, and we want to thank you for those as well. And so, Lord, whether we're in the midst of trials and life is slogging, or we feel like we're on the cutting edge and we're seeing marvelous things, in all of it, remind us that you never cease to do things that are miraculous. You are constantly working. Remind us, too, that since you run a universe, you're quite capable of looking after each one of us. And so, Lord, we just take this time in the midst of this time together and just say, Lord, I give everything to you. I give you all the issues of my life. I give you my family. I give you my friends. I give you my own life, my body, my mind, my spirit, my will, my emotions. And, Lord, you just bring your power to bear in every sphere of my life and influence. And, Father, as we have this time together, that indeed you will remind us that you are an amazing God. You're an amazing Heavenly Father. And your Son continues to do amazing things in the world all around us in drawing people to you. And so, Lord, this is our time to say thank you. This is our time to lift up others. And, Father, for those that we have mentioned, would you touch them in a very special way today? And, Lord, bless our team now. And as they come and lead us in music, and trust that we'll just sense your presence as we sing together. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Carl, would you come and your team, please?
Thank you for our time to praise you, to worship you, to seek your face. And now, Father, as Pastor John brings the word to us today, open our hearts, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see, hear, and let it take effect in each of us. For this we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated.
You know, I was watching the girls signing for David and Shauna, and I don't know how you did last weekend, but I just want to say thanks for filling in. I'm sure you were sweating buckets while Jane was away, so thank you for all your hard work. Yeah, I'll tell you, my wife still makes signs to me, and I haven't got a clue what she's saying until I look at her eyes. The eyes tell everything, don't they? Anyway, I want to talk to you today about sheep without a shepherd. I spent a lot of time while we were away looking at people. Do you like watching people? And the thing I found very interesting, this is what I want to talk to today, is it's right back to what Jesus saw in Matthew chapter 9. So I want to review this scripture with you, and then let's talk about it. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." First of all, I got a question for you. What is the harvest? What's the harvest?
People.
Yeah, the harvest is life all around us. And I don't know how you found it, but what's interesting is I think a lot of people have learned to live kind of under a rock for the last 10 years, and it's been really hard to get out and start talking to people again. And it was interesting. I went down the street. I saw my neighbor sitting out. He's retired now, so I thought, he's sitting in a chair. He looked bored. I went down. I said, "Hey, how's it going?" He goes, "I'm bored." I said, "Okay, well, I figured that one out from five houses back." But his wife then brought the dog out. Well, the dog starts barking and woofing and jumping. And she said to me, "I just apologize for our dog. Because of COVID, he hasn't seen anybody. He's not used to people." So I thought, oh, well, then I'll be the first guinea pig. Anyway, so she at least let the dog go to the bathroom. So he came in a little more relaxed, and doesn't he sniff me up one side and down the other? And then he still can't figure it out. So now he's going roof, 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 again. And she finally had to say, "Okay, that's it." And Lauren said, "Okay, that's it, buddy. You're in the house. You're back in probation." And in went the dog. And I thought, wow. Sometimes we as people feel so stressed out by everything that's going on, and I never even thought about animals, you know, and so that really hit me. But what Jesus points out here is there is literally a harvest of people, and the people need to be harvested about what? To be fleeced of their money? To give them a job? What is it all about? They need a spiritual connection with the God of the universe. And that comes through who? Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten of God himself, who walked on the face of the earth and died on a cross and rose from the dead to say, "You know what? I've taken your sins away. You can have eternal life, and when you die, you can live where? In heaven, with me and the Heavenly Father." So the first question is there still a harvest?
Yep.
I don't think that's changed. If anything now, there's more confusion. Because if you go back 200 and 300 years in world history, people very clearly knew what they believed or didn't believe. North America very much had a position of who Jesus Christ was. And yet now we have I met Christians who have a little resurrection, a little reincarnation, a little Rosicrucianism, a little syncretism of all kinds of stuff, and they probably also still have their pet rock from the 1970s. How many of you had a pet rock? At least a few of you are willing to admit it. But when we were kids, we had a rabbit's foot. And that was supposed to be good luck. Well, I don't know what it did, but I never got a home run holding on to a rabbit's foot. But we live in a society where there's so many different things, but the issue still remains, people need the Lord. They need Jesus Christ. Well, if you think there's a harvest, and you still think it's today, do you think laborers are still needed for the harvest? Unfortunately, I think what happens is many Christians are going, "Well, let them do it. Or let the pastor do it. You know, he knows how to talk to people about Jesus." I remember as a teenager, I remember thinking, "Well, my pastor's a really strong Christian guy. Like, I'm sure he'll be leading people to the Lord." And one day it hit me, well, why aren't I talking to people about Jesus? Is it just reserved for certain, quote, spiritual leaders? No. The reality is you and I are dealing with people every day, and the people you're talking to are not the people I'm necessarily talking to. So the question is, do you believe that you're a laborer in the harvest today? Okay, think about that. Because if you think you are, then we need to review what we're going to be doing in this upcoming month. Here we are on the 1st of August, and we got a whole month ahead of us. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to cut the grass. And I'm going to grow my tomato plants. And I'm going to, no, have you actually thought about when's the last time I actually prayed for all the neighbors on my street? When's the last time I've actually looked forward to trying to have some kind of conversation that has a spiritual intent? The interesting thing that I find is that Jesus is very accurate. I believe people are hassled, haggard, upset, confused. And you know how you tell? How do you tell? You look at their eyes. I found that lately, even when I'm driving along River Road or driving some location and I'm able to see a person's face, it's amazing what in 2.5 seconds you pick up about their face. And I haven't seen too many people walking along the road going, "I'm so glad to be in Wasega Beach. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm on my holidays." And I'm going, "Why aren't you? I'm still working. Why aren't the rest of you just having a great old time?" I've seen a lot of hassled parents trying to pull wagons full of stuff and tired kids dragging along behind them. I've seen a lot of that. The reality is most people around us don't know if they're coming or going. So then the question is, how do we take that in terms of what our influence is? Well, I want to share a couple of stories with you. I don't know about you, but I like to share stories relative to what we're in. So we're in the midst of the harvest. Agreed? Okay, so here's the first story. Okay, so sit back, relax, do not go to sleep. I'm telling you, I'll see if you do. Don, I'll see if you start snoring, okay? So we took this run down in Nova Scotia, stopped in Brockville the first night, brand new hotel. 3 other cars in the parking lot that night. I don't mind when a hotel's full, but when it's empty, I get kind of nervous. They left you the breakfast. We were the only 2 breakfasts out there. And they still got it wrong. But anyway, that's another story. We pull into Grand Falls, New Brunswick for the next night. Best Western Hotel. You come down in the valley of Grand Falls. You come up the other side. You get off the interstate or the regular 400 type series. You pull in. It's about 8 o'clock at night. We were tired. We hadn't had our supper, so the restaurant was offering munchies, you know, chicken wings and mozzarella sticks and all the stuff you need to eat before you go to bed, take your Tums. Anyway, so we went over and said to the lady, "Yeah, we'd like to order a few things, and we'll sit out on the patio." Well, the patio was situated right beside the hotel, and it had this marvelous view down and on the valley. It was absolutely gorgeous. Sun was just starting to set. It was a coolish evening, no wind. Come around the corner, and there's a guy sitting with his dog and 2 other guys at the next table. Well, the dog had those kinds of eyes like, "If I haven't eaten, I'm going to eat you." You know those kinds of eyes? So I let Jane go first. And she stopped, and the dog sniffed her, and she petted the dog, and so made some comments about the fella, and she went by, And the fellow, when I got there and I started to pet the dog, and the fellow says, he's just like, I'm really drunk. I said, "I think I'm going to have to go in the hotel." And I said, "Yeah, just make sure you find the front door." "Ha, ha, 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 you're so funny. Ha, ha, ha. Okay." Anyway, I go back in to get something, get the food and whatever, and Jane starts talking to these first fellow and then the other 2 fellows who were talking to him. And all of a sudden she blurts out, "Oh, my husband's a pastor." Well, apparently, 3 drunk fellows nearly fell off their chairs. It was like, "Oh, cop, pastor." Because Jane had said, first fellow with the dog, had said, "Oh, your husband is so funny." Well, he's a pastor. I don't know if they were related, but I like to think I'm funny, but maybe I'm not. An hour and a half later, we were talking about the Lord. Because what had happened is the guy with the dog talked to these other 2 fellows and found out that the one fella and him had gone to the same Wesleyan church, and the second fella knew his older brother. So they'd already had this little talk about the Lord, and then we stepped in. The next thing, these guys pulled their chairs around us, and the entire hour and a half, they peppered us with questions. "Do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? What do you think of this? Why do you think of that?" And every time I gave them the right answer, I got a handshake. It was really, they'd stand up and I go, "Okay, they're going, no, they're going." Shook my hand. I don't remember what I ate, but I'll tell you, it was an amazing hour and a half. Now, what was interesting is one of the guys said to me, "When you look at us, what do you see?" And I said, "Well, I'm looking at your eyes, guys." And the fellow with the dog said, "Well, what do you see in mine?" I said, "I see a man who's lonely and hurting and incredibly sad. He started to cry, got up, and he left. So I go, pray for him in absentia. The other two guys couldn't stop asking questions. Finally, it was like 10 o'clock at night. It was getting dark, and we wrapped it up, and they said things like, well, you've really inspired us to get back to God. Jane and I went up to our room, and here's the interesting thing about being out in the harvest. I wasn't looking to do any harvesting. I was just going to eat some supper on a patio, and God had these three fellas, Mike and Dylan and John, already seated there waiting for my arrival, waiting for our arrival. And it was interesting because Jane brought perspective. John had only been married 3 weeks. He said, well, how do I be a good husband? So I looked at my wife and I said, Jane will be happy to tell you how to love your wife. And boy, I'll tell you, she gave him stuff so completely, thoroughly, gently, clearly, that he was going, okay, I hadn't thought of that. God covered so many bases in that hour and a half. It was incredible. Were we out in the harvest? Were we looking to harvest? Is the Lord going to use it? Absolutely. Will I ever see them this side of eternity? Probably not. But notice when Jesus says, thrust the laborers out into the harvest, it can be very short term, or it could be very long term. I've been talking to my neighbor for nearly 16 years, and now here we are less than a month before we're moving, and I've already started to tell them specific things to build on the things that I've been talking about for the last 15 years. Because my motto is, he doesn't have a hope in hell. Think about that. We want to see people won for the cause of Christ. Satan does not win on this one. Dirty face does not win. And so, thrust out into the harvest. Now, let's go on to another situation. Many of you remember a lady by the name of Jean Acree. Jean was a lady in our church in her mid-80s. She accepted the Lord when she was 81. It all started when I was a chaplain at Sunset Manor, and Jane Gunning, who was Christine's mother, told me that this fellow was in the Sunset Manor, and she was cleaning their house, and Jean still lived in the house, and so I ended up meeting the husband. I led him to the Lord at Sunset Manor, and then Jean and I started having amazing talks. She accepted the Lord, and she started coming to this church. Well, she'd never had really any background in church. She'd been a Roman Catholic a bit and stuff, but she'd been very sequestered by her husband. Some people would call it actual abuse, which it was. But she was now free to come, and she'd come to church. And I remember one day she said to me, I am so shy, I don't know how to share my faith. I said, Jean, you asked two questions of everybody. Because people were phoning her, talking to her on the phone all the time. I said, you simply ask two questions. Number one, how are you doing? And how are the children? She told me 2 or 3 weeks later, people are thanking me for discussions. They're telling me all kinds of things. I've even been praying with people. Because again, it's asking the question to get the information you need. And people want to share their story. We had a police officer in our church a number of years ago, and he got into some disciplinary action because they'd had to arrest a 14-year-old, and he had her in the back of his cruiser, and he started to share his faith with her while they were driving back to the station for her to be booked. Well, apparently the mom had come into the police station the next day and absolutely reamed out the department for letting this police officer proselytize her daughter, who was only 14. And so he came to me and he said, John, what do I do here in a situation like this? I want to share my faith. I said, okay, it's how you ask the question. He said, okay, what do I do? If you have somebody in the back of the cruiser and they're starting to tell you what's going on and how their life is a mess and da-da-da-da, then you say to them very specifically, would you like me to share with you what has worked for me? Would you like me to share with you what has worked for me? He says, I'll do that. Do you know, time and time again, the next couple years, he'd tell me, I got to share my faith, and there was no flack, there was nothing. People asked me more questions. Again, family, you're out in the harvest field. What are you going to say? Would you like me to share what has worked for me? Because if people give you permission, then what can you do? You can talk about Jesus. Because they've said, yes, you can. If they say, no, I don't want to talk about it, then fine. The other question I ask people a lot of times is, do you have a faith position? Now, a lot of times I go, what's wrong with my faith? No, a faith position. And then if they ask you another question, did you ever go to church? Do you have any belief in God? Well, it was interesting. I had a lady in my office one time, and turned out she was Buddhist. We had an amazing talk between Buddha and Jesus Christ. Her leader is dead in a tomb somewhere. My leader is sitting at the right hand of God, very much alive. But again, do you have a faith position? These are all important things. Know what to ask. And then the other reality is, do things that may seem normal to you, but God is using them in a divine way. Let me give you an example of that. So one night I was coming home from Barrie. It was late. I'd done and made a hospital call. It was probably 9:30. I'm driving back. It's a cold night, coming up Sunnydale, dark, windy. I see a car off to the side of the road. Lights are off. And further down the road, I see a man walking with a briefcase. Now, you intelligent people would say, that man is from that car. It took me a good 3.5 seconds to put those two together. But I got beside him and I pulled off. He was walking along. He looked extremely cold. I said, would you like a ride? Where are you going? He says, well, I live in Wasega Beach. My car is broken down. I'm on my way from Barrie from work. And I said, hop in. I'll take you home. Now, that doesn't seem to be much of anything except just being a good neighbor. On the way home, we started chatting. He started to share with me that he was a chiropractor in Barrie, and he was trying to start a bit of a practice in Collingwood, but he had a young family, and things were not easy for him. And we had a great chat, and then got to his driveway, and we chatted for a few more minutes, and then he went in the house, and I went home. Didn't think anything more of it than just, Lord, okay, here was a dark road, you wanted me to stop. 6 years later, we're looking for a chiropractor. We found this chiropractic clinic. We went in and introduced ourselves to the staff, asked if we could have an assessment. They said, just a minute, the doctor will be in with you shortly. Come down to this room. I sat in the room. He walked in and go, his face kind of looks familiar. He took a look at me. And he said to me, I broke down in my car 6 years ago. Were you the guy who picked me up? I said, yes, I was. He says, I want you to know that I'm going to take on you and your wife, and I'm going to make it so you don't have to even drive into Barrie every day. You can come to my house, and I will give you chiropractic treatments right in Wasega Beach. 6 years later. Is God not working the harvest field even for timing? We'll never know, but much of what we do in the harvest field is very normal. And I think we need to keep in mind that God takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish, which we talked about a few weeks ago, and multiplies them in ways in the harvest field that you and I will never understand, maybe, or see until we get into heaven. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Now, I want to wrap up with one very important idea connected to what Jesus said here. Matthew 10 and verse 1 is a follow-up from Matthew 9. He reiterates this twice. Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Now, I know that seems obvious, but tell me what it says. Jesus gave them authority to what? What's the first thing? Over what? Demons. Gave them authority over what? For the demons to be subject to him. What's the second thing that he gave them authority over?
Every disease.
And the third thing?
Affliction.
Every other affliction. And he gave them authority to do what with it? Tell it all to go to hell. Seriously. Send the demons where they belong. Now, do you think you and I as disciples today have the same authority?
Yep. But do you use it?
Right on. Do we use it? See, we've grown up in a North American continent that doesn't believe in demons. And yet I think demons are very present all around. I was talking recently to a lady, and she's gone through some terrific, horrific health things. And I said, what do you do to relax? She says, well, I get on my treadmill, and I play Dungeons and Dragons. I go, hokey smoke. Because they don't know differently. They don't. I've been looking at my tarot cards. I've been reading my horoscope faithfully. When my grandmother was a little girl, the big thing was read the tea leaves. And in North America, it's like, oh, we call it just mental illness. Now, there is mental illness. I'm not negating that for a minute. But I remember one time we had a group of pastors. We went up to we called it the insane asylum, but it was up in Penetang, and it's for those who are criminally insane. And we were sitting in the commons room, and the fellows were going in and out, and they were going to the commissary, and they were getting chocolate bars and everything. And I turned to one of my buddies, and I said, do you think any of this could be demon possession? He said, yeah, probably could. I said, why don't you experiment? I said, let's look at people's eyes as they go by, because they're all medicated. I said, now, let's start praying in the spirit and see what happens. Well, we started praying, and people started popping. And they'd go by us, and they'd hiss at us and different things. So, you know, that went on. And so I said to the director who was giving us the visit, I said, could you explain something to me? Could any of this here be considered demon possession? No, 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 no. We don't have anything like that. No, 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 no. This is all mental issues that people are working through. First thing is, Jesus said, cast out demons. If we don't acknowledge there's a demonic reality, what is there to cast out? Now, I'm not saying we look for Satan behind every tree. And I'm not saying everybody who comes up at us, hisses at us and tells us to cut our own grass is demonic. But the reality is, Satan is really trying to influence people, just like Jesus is trying to influence people. And I think we have to be ready. Now, my experience has been is I don't particularly want to even bother talking to dirty face, Satan. So what I like to do when I'm in a situation with a demon is I go, Jesus, will you please deal with him? And Lord, take the demon and put him where he's supposed to go, into hell. Jane will tell you a story after of a little girl that she was working with who was deaf and was very belligerent, and she and the other teacher were Christians. And so I'm a big believer that what you do is when you want to see the authority structure, because the authority structure always comes through the brain, comes through the head. And I'm a big believer, you plead the blood of Jesus on your hand, and you put it over their head like this, and it cuts off the line of communication. So, give an example, and I'll go back to Jane's situation. One night in the church that I grew up in, a fella came down the aisle after the service, and he said to my dad, he said, hello there, Bill. My dad didn't know who he was, and he said, oh, hello. He says, Bill, don't you know who I am? He says, no, I don't believe I know who you are. Oh, Bill, I'm Jesus. I've just returned to the earth, and I'm secretly telling people I'm back. My dad goes, really? Huh. Yeah, I'm back. My dad says, can I please see the nail prints in your hands? There wasn't any there. So my dad said, this fella had an issue. So this fellow's talking to my dad, and my dad put his hand above his head. Well, I just think, Bill, I'm going to return to the earth, and I'm going to be, okay? Saw it firsthand. Cut off the demonic reality. So my dad then took him aside, and we ended up calling the police. And he was actually a fellow who lived just down the street from us who'd been in a motorcycle accident, wasn't wearing a helmet. He'd been in a coma for 2 years. So there'd been a lot, I think there'd been a lot of oppression in his life. But the reality is that, as Jane found with this little girl, they put their hand over her head and she was screaming and carrying on. And as soon as she did that, she went, oh, took their hand away. Oh. I put my hand above people's head and they go, oh, I've got a terrific headache. Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's back. Oh, it's gone. The reality is, you and I have authority in the name of Jesus to what? Tell the demons to go into the pit where they belong. And part of it is because we love you. When Jesus was with the people, what was the operative word? He had compassion on them as sheep without a shepherd. I'm finding the more I love the Lord, the more I'm loving people. I want to see people set free. I want people to be healed. I was working on a sermon, I guess it was Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, I was starting to work with this sermon, and I thought of Bob, and Bob was down having radiation treatment in the hospital. What do you think I did? I prayed in the Lord that you would work and bring him total healing in his body down there. Sometimes we can lay hands and anoint people and pray over them, and other times we pray over them and they're a long way from us. Let's pray. Let's see what the Lord, but pray the Lord would heal them in body, mind, and spirit. I know people like to say, well, if it's your will. Well, let me ask you this. Are you a parent, an aunt, an uncle, or a grandparent? If your child, grandchild, niece, or nephew were sick, would you say, well, let me think. If it's God's will, do you think that you wouldn't want them healed? Man, I think that's just cruel when we don't pray and say, Lord, would you please bring healing to this? Now, remember, who's in charge of the healing? It's not us. And yet, how many times we pray and we don't see something happen? We go, oh, my prayer was terrible. Oh, I just, oh, maybe I've lost faith. Or no, balderdash. The Lord has said, I'm thrusting you out in the harvest to take authority over those. You take authority and let me do the work. Well, you know what? I've even got to the point now I'm praying for people to be saved while they drive by me in their cars and in their semis. I don't pray for everybody, but I pray consistently when I do, and it's very simple. Lord, please save their soul, and I want to see them in heaven. That's all I pray. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who are driving down the highways, and somehow the Lord saved them, and they go, so it all started because some guy down on the 401 prayed for me when I cut him off? Well, I'll tell you, you pray for their salvation because otherwise you're going to pray a lot of other things, right? How many of you have had at least five people this week do not flicker when they go to turn? That drives me nuts. Becca goes crazy. She goes, Dad, don't people... What's even worse, I said to her, is when they put on their left flicker and turn right. That one is confusing. Either I'm dehydrated or somebody's got an issue. Well, yeah, four lanes. What part of five are you taking, you know? But the reality is God has given us, as his sons and daughters, the same authority as the disciples in Jesus' day over what? Every demon, every disease, and every infirmity. And what does they ask us the Lord to do? Go out and minister and pray. Family, I want to challenge you today. I want you to up your prayer life this week. I want you to be open to the fact that maybe the Lord's going to have you have a conversation with somebody in a parking lot or somewhere where you thought you were just relaxing and had nothing to do. It may be over your back lane. Wherever the Lord calls you. He's given us the authority. Now, here's what I want to leave with you. We know we have the authority, and we're asking Jesus to be in charge, but I think you and I need to have a sense of excitement. After I talked to those three fellows in New Brunswick at Grand Falls, how do you think I was the next day? Okay, let's go. Who's got the Lord going to show us today? Hey, what are you with me, honey? Let's go. Let's go. Slow down, John. Just slow down, slow down. Still not keep on the cruise. Come on, honey. Keep on the cruise. I had a sense of anticipation that the God I served was going to direct me to something else. And I was simply going to be obedient wherever he called me and whatever he asked me to do, or maybe just to be a listener. Family, we got a whole week ahead of us. How do you propose to use it? In service of the King. Obedience to his command. And moving with authority because you serve the God who runs the universe. And nothing stops him in his determination to draw his own sons and daughters to himself so they don't go to hell. That to me is very exciting. So would you pray with me? And let's see what God has for us. Father, we're heading into a busy week. And we don't know where we're going to go and who we're going to meet or what we're going to see. But we know, your word says, you go before us. We also know that you've given authority to your disciples to cast out the demons, to take authority over illness and infirmities. And Father, it's not about us. We may need a burst of faith to even believe we can do this with you. This is about being obedient to you. And so, Father, you're going to send every one of us to different parts of our community and area this week. Who knows who right now we're going to meet, who knows where we're going to talk to, and who knows what we're going to do. But Lord, since you're in charge, we want to move forward with a sense of excitement. That whether it's on the telephone, whether it's in person, whether it's something that occurs in a public venue or a private venue, you're determined to find people and allow us to be your hands and feet in so many different ways. So, Father, I pray your blessing on this church family today, that you would inspire them, that you would remind them you haven't given them a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And may they walk in that authority this week and see the greatness of your power. In your powerful name, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. I think these fellows did an excellent job, these young men this week. And I just want to say thank you for filling in for us today. Did a great job. And it was nice to sing some of those old songs again, fellas. Carl, would you give us a benediction, please?
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father,
thank you for your word that comes so clear from our pastor's mouth. And Father, as we sang earlier, search us. Father, let that word, your word, penetrate into our hearts and into our minds. And that, Father, as we wait upon you and we step out of this place and into the harvest field, the fields are white unto harvest, Lord. Let us bring them in as you allow. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Bless the Lord.
Amen, amen.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, everybody. Lord bless you this week.